this Christmas, your response will be, the King was born on Christmas Day, right? But I like it the way the Apostle Paul explains to us what Christmas really means. Galatians 4, 4 and 5, it says, but when the time had fully come, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. So yes, Christmas is about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, but Christmas really means Jesus came not for Himself, but for us, to redeem us from the penalty of sin, for us breaking the laws of God, so we can have the forgiveness that only God could give us. That's what Christmas. Now, I know what you're thinking. I know that. I heard that before. But do you know that many, many people out there don't know what Christmas really means? They don't know. So now, next Sunday, we have an opportunity to invite someone who doesn't know about what we know, so we can share to them the good news of Christmas, that Christmas is Jesus was born not for Himself, but for us, so He can pay the penalty of our sins, so we can be forgiven of our sins. Praise God. And so now, speaking of Christmas, we are still in our series of messages titled, The Best Christmas Ever, in His Presence, Even Without Presence. Now, the gist of this series is pretty simple, that the only means, the only way that we can truly have the best Christmas ever is if we are in the presence of the King on Christmas or during Christmas season. In other words, it's not about the things, it's about the King. It's not about the gift, it's about God. It's not about the presence, it's about being in His presence. Now, the question is this. Yes, God is Emmanuel, God is with us, but how do we find ourselves being in His presence? Well, we learn from the Magi that the first thing we could do is by searching for the King. If we start searching for the King, we are going to find Him, and once we find Him, then we are going to be in His presence, just like the Magi. They sought for the King, they found the King, and when they realized that they were in the presence of King, remember what happened? The Bible says they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. They have this unspeakable joy that once we are in the presence of God, we too can have His unspeakable joy. Now, one of the ways, if not, in my opinion, the best ways for us to search for the King is by recommitting ourselves to doing our quiet time, our time alone with God, in His Word, in prayer. You know, one of the best things about being a Christian is you doing your quiet time. That means I get to have a time alone with the King that I can get to know Him simply by searching His Word, by reading His Word, by studying His Word. And here of late, I've been enjoying my quiet time. I've always enjoyed it, but this Christmas season, God has elevated it to the next level. So every time I do my quiet time, I go to my room, and I would close the door, and I would spend time praying to God and reading His Word, and time again, God would speak. God would speak. Like, for instance, we had our caroling, as Cain was saying. We went to Pastor Ford's house for that caroling. And days before it, I was praying to God, God, if You will just send 10 people to join us and do caroling at Pastor Ford's, I would be so happy. But somehow, during my quiet time, God was impressing in my heart, I'm going to double it. I'm going to double it. So remember, I was just simply asking for 10. Guess how many showed up at the caroling? 20 people showed up, praise God. But God has already impressed that on my heart through my quiet time. If you will just recommit yourself to spending 5, 10, 15 minutes of being alone in a private room, alone with God, reading His Word, you'll find Him. And once you find Him, you'll be in His presence. That's when you experience rejoicing exceedingly with great joy. And the second thing we learn also is in our attempt to be in the presence of God, we can also follow the example of Joseph. What did he do? He obeyed the king. So if the Magi searched for the king, Joseph obeyed the king. Remember how he intuitively, instantly, and immediately obeyed the king. And what happened when he obeyed the king? We remember the story. What happened when he obeyed the king? He was greatly blessed by God. How? He get to name God. He gave God the name Jesus or Emmanuel. What a blessing. But not only that, through him, scriptures were fulfilled. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine a prophecy or a statement in the Bible that God is saying, this is what's going to happen in the future, and it happens through you? Oh, isn't that a blessing? That would be the greatest blessing ever. What would be another blessing that would top that? Nothing. God used Joseph by simply obeying him. Now, what's the third thing? There's a third thing in all the Christmas stories you can read in the Bible that you can be in the presence of God. And it's as simple as this, by pondering on the king. Pondering on the king. What does ponder mean? It means to reflect. It means to think. It means to contemplate, to ponder on the king. The third way that we can be in the presence of God is by pondering on the king, by reflecting on the king who was born on Christmas Day. And Mary was the one who pondered on the king. And you know what the blessing of that? By simply pondering on the king, the blessing for her was this. She received treasures in her heart. Who would not want to have treasures in a person's heart? I would love to have treasures in my heart. But what did she do? How do you ponder on the king? Well, let's find out as we turn to the book of Luke, to the Gospel of Luke chapter 2. We're going to read verses 8 through 20. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. And if you are able, please stand in reverence for the reading of the Word of God. It's stretch time at Caprock. Seventh inning now. We're on the lead. We're winning. We're winning. We're going to sustain it. Luke chapter 2, 8 through 20. And if you have found it, say a hearty amen. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. They were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. You may be seated. Now, last 2 weeks, we've been reading the story of Christmas from Matthew's version. This time, we just read the Christmas story from Luke's account, from the Gospel of Luke's version. And let's look at the story again as a way of a Bible study, and let's summarize the story. Now, you can interact with me if you feel like it. Let's look at the story. So there were shepherds who were watching over their animals in a field at one night, one dark night during the time, when suddenly who appeared? An angel of the Lord appeared. And so the angel of the Lord appeared and shone around them, and they found or saw it as if it was the glory of God. Now, when the angel of the Lord appeared, she said something, or the angel said something. What did the angel say to the shepherds? Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy. Today, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. After the angel said that, suddenly there was this now a whole lot more angels that came, right? And suddenly they perform a Christmas musical cantata of some sort. They did a Christmas musical, just a short version. And they started singing. What did they sing? Look at verse 14. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. After they done with their musical cantata, what happened? Well, the angel of the Lord, or the angels of the Lord, left. And the shepherd said, well, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's find this newborn king. And that's exactly what they did. So they hurried up and went to Bethlehem, and they found the baby Jesus in a manger. You see that in verses 15 and 16. And when they saw the first family, what did they say to them? What the angel said to them, right? And so notice that it says there, and everyone there at the stable were so amazed. You see that in verses 17 and 18. Afterwards, the shepherds left. Probably they went back to the field. They were praising God and glorifying God. There's the story, right? So you follow along. That was the Christmas story from the Luke's account. That was his version. But notice one thing, though. Look at verse 19. Notice one thing. Look at verse 19. But Mary treasured up all these things and ponder them in our heart. You know, I have shared this lesson, this teaching, many, many times here in the last 11 years or in the last 10 years. And for some reason, this year was the first time I've noticed verse 19. Have you noticed that before when you read this Christmas story? It seems like in the previous years, I skipped that verse. But this time it stood out. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. Now, what's that supposed to mean? Now, I think for us to understand what this verse is saying, we have to go back to the original language of the New Testament, which is Greek, to understand those two words, particularly treasure and ponder. Now, the word treasure literally means this: to keep in mind, or to keep in one's memory, treasure, okay? But notice the other word from the original language, ponder, that means this: to reflect repeatedly. In other words, to think about it over and over again. So that means Mary did this. In her way of treasuring things in her heart and pondering them in her heart, here's what she did. She heard what the shepherd said. She kept it in her memory and repeatedly reflected on them over and over again. Are you following me here? Are you following me? Come on, Capra. Come on. Come on. Come on. It's cold outside, but not in here. Come on. Let's heat up. Let's heat up. Are you following me here? So Mary heard what the shepherd said to them, and she put it in her memory. And then after she put it in her memory, from then on, she reflected on it over and over again. Wow. Now here's the question. But what did the angel say to the shepherds that the shepherds passed on to Mary for her to ponder them, or to keep them in her memory and to reflect on them over and over again? Well, let's go back to verses 10 and 11. I see three things here. I see three things. Three things. First one, look at verse 10. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy. That's the first one. Good news of great joy. The second one, look. Today in the town of David, here's the second one. A Savior has been born to you. Here's the third one. He is Christ the Lord. Did you see that? Those are the three things that the angel of the Lord emphasized, that the angel of the Lord said to the shepherds, that the shepherds relayed to Mary. That Mary put it in her memory, in her hard drive, and then every single year she pondered or reflected on those over and over again. Good news of great joy, a Savior has been born, He is Christ the Lord. And because she pondered or reflected upon those over and over, it resulted to her having the best first Christmas ever, even though her child was born in an animal feeding trough, born in a manger, in an animal feeding box. Now, what is that for us now? I believe he's talking about here the tenses, the Christmas tenses. In other words, the past, the present, and the future tenses. In other words, for us to ponder on the King, to reflect on the King, is we have to go back to our Christmas past, Christmas present, and Christmas future. Now go back to the verse. Remember, it says, good news of great joy. Again, because the word pondered in the original language indicated repeated reflections on Mary's part, Mary pondered on what the angel said to the shepherds over and over, good news of great joy. So I would assume then that Mary, every Christmas time, would go back to what the angel said in the past, and she would bring it to her present and would reflect on those that the angel of the Lord brought good news of great joy to her. Are you following me here? So in other words, even though that happened in the past, she reflected it on the present, and that gave her great joy. That gave her that blessing. In other words, if we do the same, if we reflect on the Christmas past, the great and joyful Christmas pasts that we had, for sure there's a few, if not many. I'm not telling you to reflect on the bad Christmases you had in previous years. I'm talking about you focusing on that great and joyful Christmas past that you had before. That once you bring it up into your memory and then you reflect on that, that would give you a smile in your face. For instance, I know that you have many, many stories. Many, many Christmas stories of Christmas past that you can bring to memory and would make you happy. I do. I can tell you all the joy I had on my very first Christmas with my wife. All the Christmases over the years with our children, with our kids. But I'm going to share something about one thing that I always pondered on just about every single Christmas. You see, I grew up in the 80s. And back then, Levi's Strauss became famous. You know, jeans, clothing, all Levi's. And I knew my parents won't be able to afford any Levi's because we grew up poor. I grew up poor. We didn't have money. But my mother knew I've always wanted to have something that says Levi's. So on that Christmas day, I've noticed under the Christmas tree, there was a present there for me, for my mother. And I opened it up, and guess what? It was a Levi's t-shirt. It's a simple t-shirt that says big and bold, Levi's. Woo! I was so excited about that day. I wore that day, I think, for 3 days without washing it because I was just so proud of it. But every time I think of that, how could my mother afford that? There's no way. But every time I would think of that, that she gave me this Levi's t-shirt, it brings a smile in my face. I always laugh. And can you imagine? That happened over 30 years ago, and I'm still rejoicing every time I think of that. You do have your own Christmas past stories that if you will just bring it to now, would bring you the best Christmas ever because you get to reflect on those. I remember when I was in sixth grade, and so, of course, other kids would always have more than what I have, but someone gave me a Bible. Someone gave me a Bible. That was my very first Bible. I didn't know what the Bible is, what's in there, other than I know it's something that you have to read and would help you in life. So someone gave me this Bible. So I was so excited about this Bible, my very first Bible. So I asked my mother, take my picture with it next to our little Christmas tree, and I'm going to pretend that I'm preaching. I still have that picture. I just could not find it to show it to you. So I stood next to the Christmas tree, and I'm pretending that I was preaching. And I remember being the black sheep of the family when I was growing up. So I remember one of my brother's comments was, that's not going to happen in reality. Ain't gonna happen. But it did. So every time I think of that, it brings a smile into my heart. What's your story? What's your Christmas past story? Don't think of the bad ones, the good ones. The years when you were growing up. I know you're thinking right now. I know you're thinking. You got your thinking cap right now. Come on, bring it now. Bring it to present. Bring it. Reflect on that. I'll give you 1 minute to reflect on that. Remember the days when you celebrate Christmas with the family or with someone or your first Christmas with your spouse? Think of that. Reflect. That will give you treasures in your heart. The second is the Christmas present. So again, because the idea in the original language is to ponder, is to reflect on one thing over and over again, no doubt Mary pondered repeatedly on the second part of the angel's pronouncement, which was, the Savior has been born. The Savior has been born. No doubt in my mind that every single year in her present time, in her day and age, in her now, every time she would look at her child, the Savior of the world. And growing up, giving baby little Jesus shower or wiping his bottom or whatnot. Yeah, still the Savior of the world. Now think about that for a second. What if you are the mother of Jesus? You watch this boy grow up from being a young toddler to a young child to a teenager, and every time you see this child, you are reminded of what the angel said, which you can apply in the present, which is the Savior of the world. This child of mine is the Savior of the world. I'm pretty sure that brought her joy. She was so proud of that, and that brought her delight as well. And we can do the same. Now, how do you do that? How do you think of the Christmas present when we are in the now? How can we ponder in the Christmas present? That means you ponder or reflect on what God is doing or already doing in your Christmas present. What is God doing in your life now? I mean, just to think of what God is doing in our lives now. Can you imagine? We can still celebrate Christmas. We can still celebrate the birth of our Savior. We can still celebrate Christmas with our families with freedom. We don't have to be scared like people in Aleppo or people in other countries that if you're a Christian, you're going to be persecuted. So in order for you to celebrate Christmas, you have to be in a place that no one would see you. And yet here we are. We have this freedom. What a blessing, isn't it? That we have this freedom that we can celebrate in the present. How about this? To ponder on the Christmas present is to think, yet this year, I still get to celebrate Christmas with my family. I could still hug and kiss my wife and my kids. I could still gather around the table and enjoy a hearty meal with them. Wow. Think about that. I mean, for you who donated socks and donated underwears for the Arlington Life Shelter resident, think about that. That's your Christmas present. Not that's a gift, but in terms of the now. That you still have the ability to give so you can help other people have a better Christmas. Now think about that. In the Christmas present, I was so proud that I get to be part of the Christmas caroling at Pastor Ford's home. I mean, when we were there and singing, the joy that we had. And just for me, reflecting on being able to make these people feel loved and to make these people move to tears, priceless, precious. No material present could replace that. Being able to have that joy in singing and seeing this couple so happy about that. Which, by the way, I got a text from Pastor Ford yesterday, and he said that those who were singing were like singings, they were like angels of God. There's so many things we can enjoy now. What is God already doing in your life, in the present? What is God already doing in your Christmas season now that you can ponder and reflect on, and that could make you have the best Christmas ever? I mean, I was just thinking, a few weeks ago, we bought a new Christmas tree. After over 20 years, we finally, well, our old Christmas tree was, of course, artificial, so it was shedding already. So we decided to buy a new Christmas tree, those pre-lit ones, you know, that you don't have to put the Christmas lights around it over and over. So it was pre-lit, and so we're excited about that. And we, of course, bought some new ornaments. So we went to the store, and in the process of buying, I saw, you know, my girls, Irene, and we're all excited looking for the new ornaments. Should we do blue? Should we do silver? Should we do this? And in the process, suddenly it hit me. It hit me. This joy that in this Christmas present, I still have my wife. I still have my kids. That we may not have the best of the presents, but I still have them. What is God doing already in your Christmas present? If you reflect on those, if you simply reflect on those, I guarantee you, you will have the best Christmas ever. What's the third tense? Christmas future. Remember the pronouncement of the angel again, the last one, certainly not the least. He is Christ the Lord. Now, the angel of the Lord could have stopped there and say, I give you good news of great joy. The Savior has been born, period. But why add, He is Christ the Lord? Why? Because that is directed toward the future. That this Savior is the Christ, Christ meaning Messiah, the anointed one, the one who is going to deliver His people. But watch this now. He is the Lord. That means Mary pondered in the years that came the truth, that this truth is directed toward the future. That she might not know the future, but at least she knows it's secure. Why? Because He is the Lord. Christ is the Lord, meaning Christ is the Lord. Lord meaning He is the ruler. He is the boss. He is the king. He is sovereign. He is authority. He gets to decide. No one else. And that gave her the treasure in her heart. And if we do the same, if we realize that this Jesus who was born on Christmas Day is surely my Savior, but He is also my Lord, that means my future Christmases are secured. Why? Because He is the Lord. Are you following me here? I found it so amusing that people are criticizing President-elect Donald Trump for all his appointed cabinet members. Now, I found it so interesting because surely, you know, this mainstream media, the politicians, the liberals, surely they would criticize him with his chosen person here and there. But what's interesting is this. They're saying if these people who would be appointed and they become officially the secretary of a particular department, then that would affect our future. But here's what's interesting. Okay, here's what's interesting in all they're saying. They even added Christmas there. That they are saying, from now on, we would have horrible Christmas futures. Why? Because of all those potential appointed cabinet members of Donald Trump. Now think about that. Is it really Donald Trump who gets to decide our Christmas future? Is it really his cabinet members who gets to decide our Christmas future? Is it really the government who gets to decide our Christmas future? I don't think so. Who does? Jesus is. Why? Because He is Christ, the Lord, praise God. He gets to decide. Why? Because He is the sovereign King. He is the ruler. He is the Lord. He is in control. He is on the throne. I don't know about you. That gives me so much peace that I may not know what future Christmases hold, but at least I know who holds my future Christmases. that God is in control, that God is in charge, that whatever happens from here on, even during troubling Christmas times, I can have peace. Why? Why? Because Jesus is Christ the Lord. Because Jesus is Christ the Lord. That's why he can promise us this. Jeremiah 29 verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. He can say that. Why? He can say that. Why? Because he is Christ the Lord. He's in control. Why should I worry about next Christmas? Why should I worry about Christmas in 2025? Why should I worry about Christmas in 2030? I don't have to. Why? Because Christ is the Lord. He's got my Christmas future secured. Pope Julius I was the one who authorized in 353 AD the first Christmas. He decreed that December 25 will be the day to celebrate the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. But who would have thought it would expand and got so big like what we know it now? In 1832, a Christian professor by the name of Charles Follen decided to light up candles underneath a tree. That was the very first Christmas tree in America. But who would have thought it would become as elaborate as it is now? Now, certainly, 1832 was a long ways ago. Certainly, 353 AD was even longer than that. But that first dark night that was lit by the special star is even further out in history. And yet, this year, we get to celebrate December 25, Christmas Day, the birth of our Savior, Lord and King, the Lord Jesus. So that means we can have this time once again, an opportunity to ponder, to reflect on Jesus, our King. But here's what people would always say. If you want to have the best Christmas ever, you have to spend a fortune. If you want to have the best Christmas ever, you have to have all the stuff you want for Christmas. Or as Nebraska furniture store would say, oh, what fun it is this Christmas. And you can have the best Christmas ever if you come to our store and buy all these things. But here's the truth. You can have the best Christmas ever without even costing you a penny. It would simply cost you a pondering on the King. Let's pray. We thank you for your word. And thank you, God, that the mere fact